Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling on a Monday as we get things started. He is Paul Gallant. I am Vanessa Richardson.
Whoa, who's that?
This is ESPN 97.5.
I'm hosting with a ghost.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm hosting with a ghost. You're not next to me. What the heck? Where'd you go?
You really concerned me that nobody could hear me, and I was like, okay, this is off to a really great start.
I should have pulled a prank
Paul
on
Gallant,
you.
And I'm...
I should have just not talked.
That was a major missed opportunity because I would have been sweating.
It's weird. It's weird when you're doing a show and the other person is not in the same room as you. Vanessa, did you know that my last job in Seattle, that I was doing that literally every single day for 2 years? We were never in the same room. He was in New York. I was in Seattle.
Now, was that because of COVID?
Or no.
What was the deal with that?
No, we were doing it before COVID. His wife got an awesome job in New York, so he moved from Seattle for his wife, who was the breadwinner in the family, and he was still doing the show because he had been at that station for a long period of time. So, yeah, so we were doing the whole Zoom thing before everyone even was doing Zoom when COVID-19 hit. But now this is our first foray into that. So be ready for awkward pauses and awkward stepping all over each other. How was your weekend? You went to Nashville this weekend? Did you go to the Winter Classic? What did you end up doing?
Nashville was super, super fun. I saw my cousin who plays in an awesome band there in Nashville. Mm. He's a great guitar player. And it had been a while since I had seen him play. So it was fun. He saw me in the crowd and he knew I was coming. But he said, that's my cousin Vanessa. She's probably drunk on Long Island right now if I know her. Which was, you know, very classy. But no, great to see him. And it was a good time.
No drama.
You know, Nashville is an experience. Nashville. Have you been?
I have not been. I don't know if I'd be welcome there. And I know that we're going to talk about the place you're in now in just a moment. But I'm not sure if I'd be welcome there since I've called many people from the great city of Nashville cannibals because Titans fans are mean to me. So that's how I retaliate because I'm petty. And since Tennessee is adjacent to Kentucky and West Virginia, and I saw the movie Wrong Turn once starring Eliza Dushku and the girl who plays Sloane in Entourage, I made damning accusations against Tennessee. Now they don't like me. So I don't know if I can go.
Here's my question. Are you welcome in any of the other AFC South cities? Because I know you bash Indianapolis.
Yes.
I know you bash Nashville. Are you safe in Jacksonville?
I have not said anything about Jacksonville yet. Jacksonville has a nice beach. And we went there once for Super Bowl 39. And it was really fun to be at that stadium as drunken Bostonians and Philadelphians almost killed each other over a football match. Good times.
But you said that you don't think Trevor Lawrence is the real deal. So if you keep up with that opinion, buddy.
That's more of a Clemson thing,
we'll
though.
See.
I don't think anyone in Jacksonville really cares right now since the team's probably going to move to London. And then he became unwelcome in Jacksonville. That's how we do it.
All right. It is Vanessa and Gallant, and we are starting off hot on a Monday. Yes, I was in Nashville, but now I am in Indianapolis. I'll be going to the media press conferences at the NFL Combine and trying to get a feel for what's happening here. Hey, it was last week, Paul, that we were talking about there was looking like there could be like this kind of mass protest. That has since been resolved. So we're expecting the majority of the 320 plus players to at least have some presence here at the Combine.
And now what we get to do as far as the Texans go is speculate who they might be interested in based off of the workouts that they attend. But they're probably going to be, for the most part, Lovie Smith, Nick Caserio in attendance for just about everything there. But you're there, boots on the ground. What are you really looking for over the course of this week? What are you hoping that you'll be able to find out?
You know, what's interesting is obviously the Texans have the third pick this year, and Nick Caserio has said that he's open to trading that. So But I think that the main thing is looking at these top prospects. And then just, Paul, like looking at the Texans' needs, they have so many needs, whether you're talking about the running back position, the offensive line position, I mean, the freaking safety position. It's really a team that's been decimated for one reason or another. But at the same time, their cap situation is not, you know, the best either. So I'm definitely looking, you know, to hear rumblings about, hey, are they going to trade that third round pick? That number three pick? Are they going to explore some more trades? And then you and I have kind of talked about this. Some of the external conversations, Paul, that have happened with the investigations happening around the league, not just Brian Flores. We know people are going to ask about Brian Flores, but the situation in Washington, I mean, these are going to be really interesting press conferences as far as it's not just going to be prospects. It's not just going to be, what are you guys looking for? It's going to be, I think, a little bit more than that.
Right, because in Dallas, too, now you have Jerry Jones over the weekend acknowledging Peep and Tom talking, the guy who was in the locker room at the very least and may or may not have taken pictures and may or may not have taken a picture upskirt of somebody. I mean, the guy's a creep. So now that you have Congress looking out, Washington football team / the Commanders, it's taken me some time to get used to the Commander side of it. And Dallas is also publicly acknowledging something that they were trying to keep under wraps. I am curious about that. I think that there will be a lot of questions directed at folks from Washington and from Dallas. And to go back to what you were talking about with the Texans, too, this is a different kind of investigation, but this is going to be one of those weeks where Nick Caserio is going to get face-to-face time with some of the teams that actually might be willing to trade for Deshaun Watson. And is he going to be able to pull a car salesman Caserio on them? He's going to slick his hair back. He's going to say, yeah, you know, I just forget about the 22 investigations, man. I mean, this, you know, when you got Deshaun Watson in your offense, oh man, life is really good. Who cares if he's going to get suspended for half a year? Who cares about felony charges that potentially could come down the road? Who cares? Look at him. He's a great quarterback. So is he going to be able to pull that off? He's going to have to do a bit of a car salesman job, you know? I'm not talking about like a conventional car salesman who maybe you'd even consider trusting. I'm talking about, whoa, did I just buy this car that was perhaps recovered during a hurricane that has like ants inside the car or something like that? Which, by the way, Vanessa, when I first moved down here and I was looking for a car, one of the car dealerships that I stopped at, that happened to me. I started the car and like a bunch of bugs crawled out. Yeah, they crawled out of the vents. It was terrifying. It was like,
so I'm
gonna
go out on a whim and say you did not buy this car.
No, I did not buy the car. No.
You know, the other thing, Paul, that I'm looking forward to, maybe I don't know if anybody's necessarily gonna grill Lovie Smith per se, but we got a taste when he was on the Rich Eisen show about the fact that things may be different with him. So I think seeing a more authentic version of Lovie Smith is going to be great in person. Yes, his comments on Watson. But my question for you, and this is, I mean, look, you've been around NFL teams, as have I. This is not our first rodeo, although you should go enjoy the Houston rodeo. Ayo. Those St. Elmo's 2 a.m. deals, the conversations where people have some liquid courage and some liquid truth in them. If you're Nick Caserio and you're, what did you just say?
They're hammered. I want to hear all these drunk conversations. Yeah, honestly, I just want to hear drunken gossip. You know, I don't even know if I
you are so messy, and this is why I almost want you to be at the combine instead of me, because I've covered so many of these. I've covered so many of these and heard so many drunk conversations, and you're such a fun, messy person that I feel like you would enjoy hearing them.
But, I don't know, though. I feel like I'd burn bridges for you, because I would probably, you know, once I have a couple in me, then I get loud and I start saying things that are a little bit blunt. That's where my inner Boston comes out. And I think the last thing that anybody wants is like me coming up to Lovie Smith and saying, wow, so, I mean, you weren't their first choice, huh? And Lovie's gonna be like, go away, I don't like you anymore.
To where I would have to swoop in and say, hey, how about this shrimp cocktail? So if you're Nick Caserio and you are at, you know, whatever, Prime 47, St. Elmo's, etc., at 2 a.m. and you are trying to talk about this situation with Deshaun Watson, what are some of the things that you're going to say if you're Nick Caserio to try to, you know, I don't think, Paul, that anybody needs to be convinced about Deshaun Watson's capability and his skill set. But obviously, we know about these 22 lawsuits, the 10 criminal suits, et cetera. So what are you saying if you're Nick Caserio to try to ease the mind of maybe some suitors?
Barkeep, I'll have 3 triple fireballs, please. And We're going to drink those, and then, you know, we'll feel a little bit more comfortable talking about it. There's really nothing you can say at this point until anything gets resolved, which is really frustrating because I feel like that's where we're at with just about all sports right now, baseball included. Sure. And we'll talk about baseball in a little bit as far as the deadline that they self-imposed for themselves today that could potentially cause the opening day that was scheduled to not take place, and who knows when it would actually happen. But back to this, I don't know, Vanessa, what you really say other than you maybe look for the most desperate person there. And I was reading an article by Sheil Kapadia in The Athletic, and it's like 10 ways you can't screw up an offseason. And one of the things that he had listed was you got to find the most desperate team. And the desperate team, maybe that's Washington because of all the things that are going on with them right now. Maybe it's Carolina with the way that things went for the Panthers last year. I think you're perhaps looking for the... I know this is a weird thing to say, especially now, but you're looking for essentially the drunken prey. You're looking for somebody who you feel like you can take advantage of here in Indianapolis. Not like that. You can't do that, and I would never advocate that. I'm just talking about from a trade perspective. You got to find people that you think you're going to be able to get one over on, and I would say that those are two teams right now that you could potentially find a way to do that with.
Texans general manager Nick Caserio will be speaking to the media tomorrow. That's going to be 1:30 Houston time, 2:30 Indianapolis time. And then head coach Lovie Smith scheduled to speak Wednesday, March 2nd. That's going to be 1:30 Houston time, 2:30 Indy time. Why am I saying 2:30? Because I need to remind myself that my phone automatically switches because I might have woken up an hour earlier than I needed to today without realizing that there was a time difference. But you know what? I'll take the L because that is on me.
Well, see, time zones are hard.
They are hard.
They're
even
so hard.
It's 1 hour.
You know what's
even
terrible?
It's 1 hour.
A low-key, what? Vanessa, living on the West Coast taught me that the West Coast time zone sucks. I am not a morning person. The most infuriating thing was on Saturdays, trying to watch college football games, and you have to get up to watch the games at 9 a.m. I'm sorry, my lifestyle... that is just never going to happen. I'm not going to be up and like awake and coherent enough to watch a football game at 9 in the damn morning. I'm sorry.
No.
2 years, never adjusted to it. 10 o'clock for East Coast NFL games? No, absolutely not. And all these people were trying to tell me, yeah, this is actually cool. No, you're just boring and you don't do anything the night before. Like, don't tell me how this is better. It's not. So, yeah, I have time zone problems myself, Vanessa.
There are pros and cons. Like, for me, like, the weirdest thing when I was covering the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago was
humble
that
brag.
It was hashtag humble brag. But, Paul, it was like light outside, like, towards the end of the game.
I'm okay with that. But
I'm just saying it's a little bit of a different vibe. You have to remember, like, I mean, look, you're Boston, I'm Indiana, so I've always been Eastern Standard Time.
Central's the best
and
time.
And I'm like, it's like weird that, that like the game is starting and God Bless America is playing and it feels like
2 o'clock.
Afternoon.
Right.
Yeah. Coming up on Vanessa and Galan.
More time zone talk.
There was more. Buckle up, guys. The quarterback carousel, could it be moving or does somebody just want to get paid?
Oh,
we're going to touch on something that happened very recently, plus some breaking news in baseball. You don't want to miss it. Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5. And
Vanessa, it goes to the combine. Too big for the station now. Wow. Goodness gracious.
We'll be back next.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
Paul, you know, font is so important when you release a statement or when you want something said to the general public.
Where do you go with?
And that is one thing that...
Do you like Comic Sans?
Comic Sans, that was very fifth grade, Vanessa. But what I don't, and I listen, as much as I can't stand Tom Brady in some ways, his font and everything is always on point.
Calligraphy.
Unfortunately,
a 97.5.
Hashtag calligraphy. This is now a calligraphy stan account, as the kids say. Eric Burkhart, who is the president of football at IC and Partners, he represents Kyler Murray, put out a statement that is objectively too long to read.
Yeah.
Like nobody would even want to stay tuned.
Yeah.
But it's basically this. Kyler, I mean, I'll read a small
in a
portion
nutshell.
Of it. Kyler, in a nutshell, he wants to be direct with Arizona Cardinals fans. Two things matter. Number one, he absolutely wants to be your long-term quarterback. Number two, he desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. Blah, 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 blah. Despite my client's incredible energy, a successful, valuable foundation, blah, 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 blah. Looking ahead, Kyler believes
blah, blah,
in
blah.
An, Kyler believes that in order to consistently compete for championships, there needs to be long-term stability for both the organization and himself.
Can we pause for a moment and address that?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
If you are a quarterback in the NFL that isn't bad and you have been drafted by that team in the first round, there is always stability because you ain't going anywhere. Yes.
Right.
There might not be a long-term contract, but there is a franchise tag. And if a team wants to keep you, they will keep you. So this idea that there's not long-term stability for Kyler Murray is a load of crap.
To overtly communicate Kyler's desire to be the Cardinals' long-term quarterback, we sent a detailed contract proposal to the organization. It was important to Kyler that his proposal reflected all of the following. Provides financial protection. Is in line with the current quarterback market. That compares his results alongside relevant comps, which is hilarious because he can't finish a season, but whatever. Lowers his salary cap number to allow the Cardinals to re-sign other deserving teammates. What an altruistic, wonderful young man.
Trying to be the best
teammate
he can be.
And then in bold, it says, actions speak much louder than words.
But these are words.
In this volatile business. It is now simply up to the Cardinals to decide if they prioritize. Listen to how passive aggressive this is, Paul. It is now simply up to the Cardinals to decide if they prioritize their rapidly improving 24-year-old, already two-time Pro Bowl quarterback who led the I mean, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Some of the titles that they gave for him. Okay. Rookie of the Year. Great. Yeah, that's a good one. But Pro Bowls and the quarterback loaded in quotation marks, NFC.
Yeah.
There's two good quarterbacks in the NFC other than you right now. It's Matt Stafford and it is Aaron Rodgers. And it might be Russell Wilson if Russell Wilson somehow figures out what the hell happened to him last year. But that's it. And anyone can get to a Pro Bowl now. Mitchell Trubisky's a Pro Bowl quarterback. So let's relax with flexing on the Pro Bowls here. I have a question, Vanessa. What happened to just doing this behind closed doors? Dragging this out into the street, I understand doing it for public sentiment to be on Kyler Murray's side. But considering all that he has already done this offseason with the scrubbing of the Cardinals from his social media in every way that he possibly could, no one is going to all of a sudden, I feel like, look at Kyler Murray and say, yeah, I should take the guy acting like a 15-year-old changing his away message on AOL Instant Messenger. I'm going to take him seriously now because his agent put out a passive-aggressive statement in font that was all in bold for some reason and all in caps for some reason, too. Very hard font to read.
I mean, can we get a graphic design major up in here? We get a graphic design major?
Vanessa, I have great eyesight, and I had a difficult time like seeing what was written there. You know, I mean, let's work on this, Eric Burkhart. What's his name? Eric Burkhart, right?
It is Eric Burkhart.
Okay,
ICN,
yeah. Let's work on that. And look, if you want this deal to get done, it will get done. Kyler Murray's a good quarterback from what we have seen thus far, and assuming that he's going to be able to play well in the last half of the season, which has been an issue for him because he's been banged up, the Cardinals are going to keep him around long term. Putting this out there, after it seemed like the hatchet had been buried between these two parties, makes you feel like, okay, now we're right back to square one. The Cardinals clearly have issues about Kyler Murray. So guess what? Kyler Murray is going to now hear more little gossipy tidbits that come out in retaliation to this message, because that's how it's done. If you're going to play this sniping, passive-aggressive game back and forth, guess what? Okay, there's going to be more things revealed about you, other than the fact that your favorite movie is The Great Gatsby, which I consider to be a red flag and a reason that he shouldn't have been drafted first overall. His favorite movie is The Great Gatsby.
On.
Yes, that one. The bad one.
Not the Robert Redford one.
Hold on. Oh, okay. Because just to be clear, I love F. Scott Fitzgerald, so we were going to have some issues.
I love the book, and Vanessa, I've never been more disappointed by a movie than seeing the one that had Tobey Maguire, Leonardo DiCaprio. Right, the whole thing was like
bad.
DUIs with CGI. Like, that was the whole thing. And Kyler Murray, when he went to the NFL draft, I guess he wore a suit that was based off of what the Great Gatsby wore. And I was like, all right, red flag, he idolizes a rich person who is secretly stalking his ex from across a river. Congratulations. Kyler Murray, that is who you are all about. But on a serious note, get ready. There's going to be more Kyler Murray's dirt coming out from the Arizona Cardinals, leaked through anonymous sources.
Here's why Kyler Murray is doing this, and his agent, obviously, because he wants to be paid right now. He wants to be paid. And he's getting, in my opinion, he's getting found out. And what I mean by he's getting found out is that every season is the same. He starts out, he's good. He's fine. And then opponents figure him out and they figure out the offense. And he was lost without DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes.
Once D-Hop got hurt this year.
Very true.
Completely lost without D-Hop. And, you know, I heard this morning on NFL Network, Michael Robinson brought it up, a good point of like, of course he wants to get paid right now because, you know, things have changed. And Paul, you and I have talked about this with player empowerment, with quarterbacks. And so he's trying to call his shot. Will it work? I don't know. But this was a very, very extreme move.
I have no problem with the player asking for more money. You know, for all the annoying things that Aaron Rodgers has done over the last couple of years, Aaron Rodgers is supposedly asking for $50 million a year. I get it. He's had back-to-back MVP seasons. And
right.
If you're playing like that in your late 30s and your early 40s, the way Tom Brady has been, then you deserve to be paid for it. Because I see no reason why Rodgers is going to fall off a cliff other than age. Like, just to say age is the reason, I don't know. I think Rodgers is different than Drew Brees. I feel like Rodgers is different than Ben Roethlisberger, where you could see the wear and tear building up on those two, where Brees' shoulder all of a sudden wasn't working the same way. And the same thing with Roethlisberger. Like, all of a sudden, you just like, whoa, man, these guys lost it. But Rodgers hasn't shown anything close to potentially losing it. And Rodgers asking for that, I get it. But Kyler Murray, while he is a good quarterback, there are still things that he has to prove. He has not won an MVP. He has been an MVP candidate for each of the last two seasons in the middle of the year. But as you said, okay, is he getting figured out? Is he getting injured and not able to recover? What the heck is going on in the second half of the season? You're not getting paid because you get off to a great start every single season. Like, that's awesome. That makes people happy. And the Cardinals were at one point arguably the best team in the NFL, but it's a 17-game season. It is a marathon. And I don't know that we can 100% buy into the idea that there will be a season that Kyler Murray runs the entire marathon, because he hasn't to this point in his career.
I also just think that he's getting figured out as far as him being immature, playing these games, deleting the Instagram posts. I mean, I just think that at this point, it's ridiculous. Also ridiculous, segue, hey-o. The lack of progress made in MLB today. Jesse Rogers from ESPN Chicago, among many, tweeting pictures of Andrew Miller and Max Scherzer entering the building in Jupiter trying to get this done. It was weird over the weekend, Paul, because there were a series of tweets from different reporters that were basically and basically summed up sounded like this. It wasn't bad and people weren't angry, but not a lot of progress was made.
And if no progress was made and they set this deadline for Monday, then it's bad. So that's funny that it's being spun that way, because
it's being spun as if everything is fine, but no progress is being made. And this is the last day for them to have a full season.
The players came with proposals and the owners said, nope. That's how it went. Saturday was a particularly frustrating day where the Players Association proposed a couple of different things. We're raising the luxury tax so that more of the big market teams can spend. But it really feels right now like the small market teams and the medium market teams are the ones that are really making everything a giant pain for the majority of players. Like, it's not the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the teams that are spending a lot of money. It's, I guess, teams like Baltimore or something like that who are holding everything back. And it just shows the owners don't care. I don't know what you do here, Vanessa, because there's no one that you can really apply pressure to. I would like to put pressure on Rob Manfred. And, you know, I don't know if anyone saw Rob Manfred's press conference back in February. And Cameron behind the glass, I don't know if we can grab this. I know this is a little late to throw to it. But Rob Manfred said a couple of different things at his press conference. So the first thing he said, Vanessa, it's part of my job to keep the game on the field. This was from February 10th. Here's Roberto.
Get us to an agreement that keeps the game on the field. I take that responsibility really seriously. And, you know, what somebody says on social media really doesn't affect my thinking in that regard. It's my responsibility to do everything we can to make an agreement that the industry can live with and keep the game on the field. And we are trying to do that.
They're not, though. That's the thing.
Right.
They're not trying to do that. They say they're trying to do that, but if the owners aren't doing that, and Manfred, the meat shield that he is up there and he's saying these things, but we're not actually seeing any progress, then they're lying. They're lying through their teeth. And the problem is you can't really hold anybody accountable here, Vanessa, because, okay, I think a lot of people would be very satisfied if they fire Rob Manfred, but they'll just put another patsy in there who can take all the heat and take all the bullets while these owners never, ever, ever field any questions about realistic reasons as to why they can't raise this one in particular, the luxury tax threshold. I think it's ridiculous that the luxury tax has done what it has done over the last couple of years, where you're seeing like contending baseball teams dumping their great players because they don't want to have to pay the luxury tax. And it's leading to these big teams not giving as many massive contracts as they probably could. And if I'm a great player, yeah, okay. For the fans, you want to see them spread across the league. But if I'm a great player, I want to get paid. And I don't know. The competitive balance side of things, it would make sense if every team you honestly felt like they were trying to compete for championships, but there's a lot of teams out there that clearly are not doing that and haven't been doing that for a long period of time.
All right, we are rolling on a Monday talking all things baseball. We'll have some more baseball news coming up here in a bit, but right now I want to tell you, you need to listen to me if you're a homeowner, okay? Grab that cell phone. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to one of those annoying agents. I know you pay too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates probably because it is such a hassle. It doesn't have to be a hassle thanks to TGS Insurance. They've built a brand new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers, and gives you a full quote. And that all happens in just 15 seconds. So you're using nothing but a single text message, and you're probably going to save a bunch of money. So take your phone and text the word money. That's M-O-N-E-Y. And you're going to text money to 232323. So then their system is going to ask you for your home address. You just text that back, and you're going to get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. It usually takes even less than that. This company and the savings guys are legit. Their online rating is almost perfect. And their average customer from 2021 is saving over $870 on their home insurance. That's huge. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're one text message away from massive, massive savings. One more time, text money 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today. All right, coming up, some hoops talk the beard and not Lovie Smith. We're talking James Harden returns. Plus, go Cougs. The great season continues. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, well, the beard always starts out hot, it seems, when he finds a new destination before the love is gone. And right now, Philly has fallen in love with James Harden after a hot start with Joel Embiid.
I am looking forward to the eventual turn. And Vanessa, it's because I'm bitter and I'm a hater. I mean, here I am. Yesterday on Twitter, James Harden had a picture up, and he's wearing, I guess, like, a necklace that Nipsey Hussle had given to him or something like that. And he has this caption there, and I retweeted it, and I said, he has no concept of the word forever. And I was like, no, he's just talking about his dead friend, the rapper. And I was like, oh, Nipsey, that guy who I don't know anything about music-wise. Yeah, apparently, R.I.P. But, here I am. I'm bitter. I know I'm a hater when it comes to James Harden. Whatever. Someone needs to be because someone always was. And I'm not going to just change my mind here. That Philadelphians are embracing him, it is just so against everything that Philadelphia stands for as a people. Working class, tough, blue collar, no nonsense town. So I just can't wait. I cannot wait until they all wake up, but they are in the honeymoon right now. And I know that anyone that I've talked to from Philadelphia, and half of my family is from Philadelphia, they are all buying into the BS. It's just a matter of time. But to the 76ers' credit, they have played very well in these first two games. Yes, against the Timberwolves. Yes, against the Knicks. And yes, it's been intolerable basketball. There were 37 free throws between Joel Embiid and James Harden in the win over the Knicks that they just had. But it's a pretty good start. And there is a part of me, it's not a big part, but a small part of me that is concerned that they could make this work. That Joel Embiid and James Harden could make this work, because I will just be so disgusted. I don't know if I'd be able to watch, Vanessa, the NBA Finals if James Harden's playing in them.
Joel Embiid has always come across to me as being pretty level-headed, not being too much of a diva. Granted, I don't follow his journey super, super closely, but it could be one of those things, too, to where these two genuinely work well together because they kind of complement each other. As you said it was ridiculous. A lot of free throws. But the defense was there. James Harden was 10 for 10 from the line. And there was an energy there. There was an energy and a passion there. And if you're, a Nets fan or a Rockets fan or whatever, you just wonder where the hell this was for your team.
We heard from both of them after the game. First, Joel Embiid feels like they are unstoppable. Here is the Sixers big man.
Unstoppable. Man, what are you really going to do? He's a great passer, and obviously I got someone that attracts a lot of attention to. So you got to make a decision. Do you, stay on me or do you stay on them? And, if you want to guard both of us, with the other guys, now you got, Matisse diving to the rim.
So there we go, as far as what they can do. My big question is always going to be, what's Harden going to do when Joel Embiid doesn't have the ball? But something that gets said a lot nationally that we all know locally wasn't true, Harden's a great passer, Harden's a great distributor, and that there is a way that this can work. I was surprised by Harden showing some tact and a bit of humbleness after these first two games for the Sixers. Here is what Harden had to say. Let's pump the brakes on some of this Sixers hype.
We are a long way to go. This is our game two for me. It's a long way to go. But I like the direction that we're in, especially defensively. That's going to be what we hang our hats on. Like, if we can get stops offensively, it's going to be pretty easy. We got shooting. We got attacking. We are
long way to go, 100% on that front, Vanessa. And we'll see. It's for me, it's always the second round of the playoffs with James Harden, where it just stops looking like the James Harden of the regular season. I don't know if that's because playoff basketball is a little bit more wear and tear on him with the high usage rate that he has. But whatever the case, it always has felt like in the second round of the playoffs, he stops being the guy that we have seen win an MVP and be an MVP finalist before, too.
That was the soundbite, one of the only soundbites recently that I've heard where James Harden sounds really humble and really likable. He had also said that his body was genuinely feeling good because he had to miss those 3 weeks with the hamstring tightness. So he talked about his body feeling good. He talked about, getting back into it. And what'd you say?
I just laughed. I mean, his body was always good, Right. And here, I'll give him credit for this, though. At the very least, he was working out and he was ready to go, even with this hamstring issue, unlike Ben Simmons, who still isn't ready to go for Brooklyn. What a joke that is. Steve Nash is at his press conference essentially saying, he's still working himself back into shape. What the hell has Ben Simmons been doing? And I get it, mental health, but what have you been doing this whole time? Have you just been, hanging out with Kendall Jenner the whole time? I mean, if that's the case, good. Good for you. But, at a certain point, you gotta, do the thing that you're best at, which is play basketball. Wouldn't you be bored? Wouldn't you want, even if you're dealing with these mental issues that you are claiming that you have, wouldn't this help you? Wouldn't this be therapeutic to work on your game a little bit? Because I feel like getting back out there on the court is actually going to be, in a way, somewhat therapeutic for him, as opposed to just continuing to be off on as a hermit somewhere.
I liked what Mike Golic Jr. had said about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago on ESPN Radio, which was essentially this. it is so hard to talk about mental health issues. Definitely you can't do it on Twitter, but even on sports radio, it's such a gray area. It's like, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but he was talking about, it's just very nuanced and detailed conversations. Because Paul, I look at the situation with Ben Simmons and I think the same thing. And we're at a point where I don't know that we can say much about it because he did say that he has mental health issues.
And it's frustrating to an extent. I understand why you're not supposed to, but it's hard to not at least have a modicum of skepticism about the whole thing, because it just it's very convenient for him to say that when, look, I mean, he's dealing with it from some very, very angry Philadelphia fans who are probably the meanest fan base in the United States of America. They're Looney Tunes. But there's another part of it here where, okay, man, like, you have things in your court that every single person in this country does not necessarily have as far as resources and things. Right. And those people still show up to work every single day. So I guess he might be dealing with all these things. I just don't really have empathy for him specifically.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's like I said, it's a very, very complicated situation. Elsewhere around the NBA, the Lakers, when LeBron tweeted a couple of months ago, keep that same energy when we're winning the playoffs, it does not appear that that will be the case.
Oh, no. Well, someone's going to get fired because it's never LeBron's fault. General manager LeBron,
ever,
who got them to trade for Russell Westbrook. I mean, goodness gracious, what were they thinking on that front? And props to being able to pawn Russell Westbrook off on somebody else. Nothing against Russell Westbrook, who at the very least is still athletically gifted, but the guy just can't, he just can't shoot. And it's weird how his style of play in just a couple of years, I think everyone has sort of been like, oh, now that he's not in Oklahoma City every night, and I'm not just seeing his triple-doubles that he's piling up every single night. He's very incompatible with a lot of different players. You can see why Durant got tired of it. You can see why LeBron is getting tired of it. It's weird. I want to say just the most confident human being perhaps in basketball, like Russell Westbrook is definitely one of them, and it's overconfidence at this point. And that's one of many problems for the Los Angeles Lakers right now, Vanessa.
Yep, Jeannie Buss, owner of the Lakers, actually leaving. I think it was in the third quarter. There was a video of her just straight up, her and I think her boo, just straight up walking out. She had popcorn and something in her.
Not Phil?
Popcorn, maybe a Diet Coke, and she was out of there.
Phil and her aren't a thing anymore, right, Phil Jackson? That was a thing at one point, right? And then now they're not? I don't know. What's the gossip? What's the DL?
What's the 411?
The 411, yeah, your favorite
last
term.
Week and completely embarrassed myself. Meanwhile, Sunday night, the Rockets fell short as they lost to the Los Angeles Clippers by 1 point, 99-98. As a result of that game, the Rockets dropped their ninth consecutive game while falling to 15-45 on the season.
It was close. Like, Jalen Green could have hit a game-tying three at the end. They couldn't score at all in the paint. They actually were pretty good from outside in this one. They're a tough watch. They're a tough watch right now. You know, to the point that, Vanessa,
it's
I'm
tough.
Like, yeah, like the college basketball is a lot better right now. You know, I'm wearing a UT shirt right now because I want to see Baylor go down. Baylor took down Kansas. 7 of 9 top 10 teams went down on Saturday in college basketball. So it's a very fun weekend on that front. And here we have the Rockets every single night in the NBA. Yeah, just being the Rockets. I actually just Googled, by the way, Vanessa, because, you know, I got a little bit of the ADD when I think about the Rockets because they're just hard to, you know, be interested in. I just Googled Jeannie Buss Boo Thang, and nothing came up. So
Boo Thang.
Yeah.
Creative.
Because yeah, well,
it may be under, like, relationship or boyfriend. Jeannie Buss says Boo Thang.
Jeannie Buss Bay. nope, that didn't come up either. Well, I'll figure it out
eventually.
And
you are getting into a glimpse of why none of the four women Paul Gallant dates have...
That was
taking him.
That was hurtful. That was hurtful.
Love you. All right. Yeah, I believe in Rafael Stone, and I like Steven Silas a lot, but this team has a long way to go. Meanwhile, Kelvin Sampson and the U of H Cougs continue their hot season. They beat SMU. Here's the thing, Paul. I am concerned for this team come March just because...
Oh, yeah, they don't have as many bodies as everybody else, you know?
Yeah, they just don't. But without Marcus Sasser, this has been a very impressive season, all things considered.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm happy with the way things are going, but I think right now, you know, Baylor, who I can't stand, I hate their fan base, and I just think it's really funny that Baylor turns the blind eye for, you know, like sexual assault with their football program and, you know, has the thing happen with the basketball program where somebody dies. And yet this is like the sanctimonious university in the state of Texas. But I mean, what they did against Kansas on Saturday was really impressive. And Texas is playing really hot of late. So I'm really curious to see tonight what Baylor's going to do. Cause, you know, we saw with, you know, Baylor and UH last year, you know, look, the Cougs had a great run last season, but they just do not have the bodies, I think, to make a big run. I'll give them credit, though. They're scrappy, and at the very least, they deserve your attention, unlike this Houston Rockets team.
They are very, very scrappy. They make it work, and I do have a lot of confidence in Kelvin Sampson. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, who would you take in a fight, Peter King or Tony Dungy? We talk about the upcoming rules, and then after that, new audio from somebody very close to Deshaun Watson. We're going to talk about all of that next.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson. I'm in Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. My guy Paul Gallant back in studio holding it down. You can see his pretty face on Twitch this morning.
That doesn't make up for you saying like that. I can't juggle all these people, these theoretical people that may have already juggled themselves out of the equation.
Juggle all the women? I'm actually impressed.
No, I can't. I can't. That's the problem. No, that's not. We're down to nobody right now. We are still back in the wilderness of dating, trying to figure things out on the fly and being very open about it on the air, which may or may not lead to consequences from time to time. But damn it, you will be entertained or annoyed.
I can't wait to see and meet the woman that actually ties you down. That will be interesting.
Will they actually tie me down? Sounds interesting.
Hey-o. Fun discussion on Twitter this morning. So we all know one of the hottest topics in the NFL was obviously the overtime rules. People were not happy. The game that kind of highlighted it was that Chiefs-Bills game where it was just so clear that whoever won the coin toss potentially was going to win the game or certainly had the best chance of winning the game. Tony Dungy and Peter King hashtag beefing on Twitter this morning, and I say that beefing sarcastically.
Okay, I was about to say, like, is Tony Dungy beefing with somebody? I can't imagine that. I feel like Tony Dungy beefing with somebody is, hey, here's some beef stew. It's me, Tony Dungy. I'm a really nice guy.
I actually read his devotional every morning, so no argument there. So Peter King is basically, in short, the Reader's Digest version. Peter King is saying that the rule needs to change. Tony Dungy quote tweets that and says, when I had Peyton Manning, I obviously wanted the ball first in OT, but I didn't mind losing the toss. I felt our D should be able to stop them. With all the noise about the OT rules, since the rule change, what percentage of the time has coin flip winner won the overtime game? How many first drive touchdowns? To which Peter King quote tweeted and responded, good morning, Tony Dungy. In 12 OT playoff games since the rules change, coin flip winner at start of OT is 10-2. Coin flip winner at start of OT has scored touchdown to win on first possession 7 of 12 games.
That's sort of a well-actually tweet, but understandably so. Because of course he
now,
was responding
well, actually,
to Peter King.
Now, well, actually, on whose side, Tony?
Peter King. That was very much a good morning. Hey, here's why you're wrong. I just think it's funny right. That he added the good morning ...
Yeah, good morning, Tony Dungy.
Good morning.
You actually coached a Super Bowl winning team. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to stuff you in a locker. And I thought it was interesting that Dungy said, "I felt our D should be able to stop them." Well, in 2006, okay, but I mean, like, for the most part, the Colts defense was usually not their strength going into the playoffs. So that's a weird line of thinking to have, even if you are a defensive minded coach.
Right.
But look, the you saw that game. It does feel unfair that in a game where two defenses were clearly out of gas, that the Buffalo Bills did not get a chance to answer in overtime. And that's the game that this all circles back to. And with the way that the league has gone, where it's just hard to envision
on a regular basis, a great defense crushing a great quarterback and a great offense. You just don't really see it as often anymore. You'll see it occasionally, but you know, the days that where Dungy was head coach, where you know Manning would have a great week against the Chiefs, next week against the Patriots, it was tough sledding. That just doesn't happen as consistently anymore. So I feel like everybody wants this to happen this coming season. I think that in the case of the actual league itself, that they're looking about potentially having different overtime for the postseason and the regular season, where in postseason, each team would get at least one possession guaranteed. But in the case of the Indianapolis Colts, they've actually put forth a proposal where this would take place in the regular season and in overtime. And you know what? I say that's the move. I think that's the way that it should be done. I mean, it's the best situation that you were going to find that I think answers this question of fairness, of winning a coin toss, of a game being largely decided by who wins that first possession in overtime, at least if that team has a good offense. And I wonder, Vanessa, especially as we, you know, have all these teams that are together in right. Indianapolis for the combine, I wonder how many people would actually be in opposition to it, because you do need to have a consensus. I think you have to have 23, 24 owners to sign off on this. But who would actually be against this?
It's 75%, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
And I do think it's one of those things to where these guys and gals, you know, front office members are going to whisper among themselves and say, how strong do we feel about it? Because we know the players feel strongly about it. I mean, there are guys like Josh Allen. And I mean, they're all going to be classy about it, right? They're all going to go to the podium and say them's the rules. But what are they saying behind the scenes? And what are they saying, you know, when Joe Burrow and the Bengals lost the coin toss, which ironically they ended up winning, but Josh Allen tweeted hashtag pain, or you know, because he had just experienced that. So it'll be interesting to see potential rule changes for sure. All right. We're kind of expecting at this point, Paul, when it comes to the Texans season, not to see the return of Justin Reed. And with how, you know, with how many guys on this Texans team this last season were on 1-2 year deals, Justin Reed was pretty much the face of the franchise, fair to say?
Yeah, which is sad, but...
But that's the reality. True. I mean, look, that was the guy.
It was largely, I think, based off of personality, because if you've ever spoken with Justin Reed, he is exceptionally warm, charismatic. I remember doing an interview with him his rookie year. It was a lot of fun. Like, I really genuinely like him. How good of a safety is he, actually? I don't know. I think he's above average. Is he good to great? I'm not 100% sure. But last year it was weird that of all the people that you would think about potentially getting suspended randomly, that Justin Reed was getting suspended down the stretch. It like felt like a weird, unnecessary, hey, I'm still in charge here. Hey, I'm trying to keep my job. I still have command move by David Culley. Like a flex for the sake of flexing, and it felt very right. unnecessary, especially the way that Reed spoke about it after the fact. And when you saw that happen, you're like, okay, well, Reed's gone this offseason, but that might be different now.
Justin Reed has consistently been the MVP for the media. Other guys that are great, of course, Whitney Mercilus was excellent. John Weeks has always been great the billion years that he's been there. But when Justin Reed got suspended, it was an indication that there were some odd things going on in Houston, because you would just have to know him to know that this guy never deserves to be suspended. I mean, this is one of the, I hate the term classy in sports, but I'll use it with Justin Reed. Like, he's just a classy, really nice guy. So, but he talked a little bit about the hire and the hire of Lovie Smith. And from what Justin Reed said, he's excited. And I got to say, Paul, this is the closest I've kind of heard to Justin Reed sounding like there may be a chance that he could stick around.
Yeah. You know, Justin Reed, he was on Sirius XM NFL radio, and he was asked by Ed McCaffrey, who's doing a radio show, about the hire of Lovie Smith. And here's what he had to say.
Honestly, it made a bigger impact than I would have thought it would have. I didn't know he was in a run. I think it kind of caught everybody by surprise whenever they pivoted and ended up hiring him. I think he's more than qualified. He's done it before. He's been to a Super Bowl, and he gets his guys to play hard for him. I don't have anything against any of the other candidates, but I actually have a deep love and respect for Coach Lovie Smith, his coaching philosophy, the way he's able to get the best out of his players. So I think that was a tremendous move for the Houston Texans. I'm personally a big fan of him. And I'm not opposed to the idea of staying either. It's just whenever these conversations all take place, and early March, then things are going to really start to unravel and show themselves.
So pay me, right? This is hey,
that's,
okay.
That's the long and the short of it.
I'll come back to the table, but because I like Lovie Smith, but ultimately pay me. And I wonder if he is worth paying. I saw a list Vanessa put together of the top 150 free agents, and I think that Justin Reed is listed at number 76. So, I mean, that's not someone that I'm willing to overpay for. I imagine that ranking would vary team to team and evaluator to evaluator. But, you know, I don't think that Reed was necessarily the massive difference maker that you were kind of hoping to get at that safety position. It's not like he was a bad player by any means or anything like that. It's just I wonder what kind of asking price he's going to be looking for, because I'm not going to be paying that much for someone like him. I'd rather give money like that to someone like Quandre Diggs, safety for the Seattle Seahawks, used to play at UT, who might be available.
If you're Justin Reed, I also think that you're just looking for a healthy situation. I mean, this is a guy that his two head coaches have been Bill O'Brien, I guess technically Romeo Crennel, and then David Coley. And so I think that if you're Justin Reed, look, you want paid. He wants to be paid, obviously. He wants his bag. But I think he's probably wanting to go somewhere where he has a little bit more stability, more of a healthy situation, and where he is not going to be suspended for voicing his opinion in a defensive meeting. Mm. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the font that is so hard to read, sent by an NFL agent. More on Kyler Murray. That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.